Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
And as we approach God again in prayer, as we open the scriptures, will you join once again in prayer with me? Lord our God, you sent your Spirit to brood over the waters of creation and breathed into every living being the breath of life. So now fill us with anticipation as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed. We may once more delight in your good creation. Amen. Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as come out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off from the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all the earth. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and with him, without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. During the season of Lent, I had several conversations with friends about the state of the world. They were here at church seeking hope because the world just seems so much, so dark. Hope seems so elusive. Turning on the news at any given time, I'm reminded of the old news adage, "If it bleeds, it leads." News of gun violence, of social media and damaging to young people, insurrections and the latest things that politicians say, water rationing in California and Arizona, where my brother lives, rising fuel prices and grocery prices and hunger associated with both, wars and missile test launches, nuclear weapon threats, bird flu hitting the state of Illinois, vanishing species, global climate change. What strikes you may be different. It just can seem so dark and hopeless. As I wrote this on Earth Day, I found my inbox full of messages about what the world needs now, how food insecurity and climate change are linked. It felt so very dark. And yet, And yet Scripture can remind us of hope. Today's passage from Genesis is a favorite passage of mine. It reminds me, frankly, of my mother. My mother was one of the most positive people ever. She looked continually for the good in all circumstances. I remember as a kid, whenever the rain stopped, she would send us running out the door to try to catch a glimpse of a rainbow. Whenever on one of our family road trips, she would be checking out the sky and having us look for patches of blue and rainbows to indicate that the weather would be good enough for our camping that evening. Rainbows are such a sign of hope to me, of God setting God's bow, a weapon of war, and resting it in the clouds as a reminder of God's covenant with people, with every living creature, including the birds and domestic animals and all people, every living creature, not to rain destruction on the earth again. Looking a little further back in the book of Genesis, we hear the creation story of God doing what is deep in God's nature of creating. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. A few verses later in that first chapter of Genesis, God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate day from night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let there be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so, and it was good. Light is so important that we hear more about light than those first few verses of Genesis. Light provides us life, as the Gospel of John said. From photosynthesis to warmth, light is necessary for life. God created the light, and it was good. The creation story's Genesis reminds us of essential truths, and we know deep in our bones how light is indeed good. Darkness can feel quite the opposite, and it reminds us of disorder and chaos. Sometimes the world can feel a little bit like it is once again full of chaos, at least if we watch the news too much. Yet if we look at these early verses of Genesis, we are reminded of the goodness of creation, that God brings order out of chaos and light over the darkness. And so we heard in the Gospel John's creation story. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and so on. While this language is beautiful, it also reveals a deep mystery of God. While my scientific brain would love to understand how it all happened, I have to remind myself that Scripture is not so much about science, but rather a way of explaining about God and God's nature. It is one thing I learned while studying the Scriptures as an adult. As a child of the church, I came to faith by singing in the chair of choir. Often, as I spent time preparing for worship, I come up with lines of songs that preach far better than any words I could share. I want to walk as a child of the light. I want to follow Jesus. God sent the stars to to the world, the star of my life is Jesus. guess I learned a thing or two about being a positive person from my mother. Because for me, faith in Christ evokes the feeling of light, and the light of my life is Jesus. The hymn is based on the first letter of John, which reads, "This, in essence, is the message we heard from Christ and are passing on to you. God is light, pure light. There's not a trace of darkness in him." This time of year, it is the light that renews my soul. Last summer, I made the trek to spend many, many an early morning with the fields of sunflowers. Throughout the last few weeks, and Holy Week in particular, I got up before sunrise to walk amongst the cherry trees at the Japan House. I wanted to be there when the sky changed color and the sunbeams hit the tender blossoms on the trees. That low, angled light is just spectacular, especially as the temperatures warm and we glimpse new life in the tender shoots. Being in nature restores my soul. On Friday, Washington Post columnist Sarah Kaplan wrote on her piece about Earth Day, "If hope had a color, it would be the pale green of a newly sprouted seed. It would smell of pollen and damp earth. Its shape would be the swan-like arc of a stem stretching toward the sun." This season of Easter, we are reminded of the new life in Christ, and spring, with all its new life, can bring us a sense of joy. But we also have responsibility. The Message version of Genesis tells us from chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, "God spoke, 'Let us make human beings in our image and make them reflecting our nature, so they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself, for every animal that moves on the face of the earth.'" Responsible for the fish, the birds, the cattle, and earth itself. Responsibility has a very different connotation than the version, the translation of Scripture that I grew up with, which was dominion over. We are indeed responsible for the earth. One way our congregation has taken on this role is as an earth care congregation for the last 10 years. We do several things around church to be good stewards of the earth: reusing our coffee cups, filling our water bottles at the water bottle stations, highway cleanup, recycling. I just dropped off some styrofoam downstairs for that collection, and our pollinator garden, which I think is being planted very soon. Kathy is telling me yes. Talk to one of our environmental committee members to find out how you can also contribute to this effort and make our corner of church and state a little bit better. Renowned primatologist Jane Goodall wrote, "Our earth needs care through every day, though every day you cannot get through a single day without having an impact on the world around you. What you do makes a difference, and you have to decide what kind of difference you want to make." How can one little person be responsible? But maybe that's not the question. Maybe instead, it's how can I help take care of my little corner of the world? What can I do to be faithful to God and be responsible for the earth? To be a child of the light. If your email inbox was anything like mine, I bet on Friday you got a bunch of ideas of how you can help. The thing I read over and over again that was perhaps the most important thing is to talk about it. So here I am, talking about caring for the earth. Share what you do indeed, that you do indeed care for the planet. But beyond talking, I have a few ideas. Do something. If you're going on a drive, combine trips. Get your tires properly inflated. And if in the market for a new vehicle, get one that gets that high miles per gallon. Or go electric. Get outside. Spend some time in nature. You will feel the light, and you will experience God's creation. Practice plogging. Do you know that word? It's Swedish for jogging and picking up trash, which was plocka upp, which means to take a plastic bag with you when you go on your walk and pick up the trash and make the world a little bit better. Get your produce locally and seasonally, and stay for that education hour to learn how a little bit more. And plant some flowers. Take those seed papers and plant some wildflowers. Siblings in faith, the events of the world may seem dark, especially if you spend any time following the news. But I believe that God is full of light, and frankly, is the light. God is creating, still breathing new life and new hope into the world around us. And we are called to do our part to tend to the world given to us by God on loan from our children. The Reverend Sarah Speed provided many of the liturgies for us during the Lenten season, and she has a poem for the Lenten season called "The Earth Doesn't Deserve the Sun." We pollute her skies and poison the air, and yet day after day, she keeps coming back. Day after day, she warms my skin, lights the night, and draws me in. I think that's what Easter feels like. We haven't earned love, and yet love couldn't stay away. The stone had to roll, the dawn had to break. Love had to win. So each morning I thank God for this tiny glimpse of Easter, light that breaks through the night, love that can't stay away. Let us pray. Gracious, fantastic God, you have brought us from darkness to life, out of death into life. Kindle within us the light of your love and your peace, that we might be to others bright beacons of a blessing in a world grown dim. In the name of the true light, Jesus the Christ, amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.